Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians and chapter 4, and I will be reading the first 16 verses. Ephesians and chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now, this expression, "he ascended," what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Grow up, Paul says to these believers there in Ephesus so long ago. You remember the story of Peter Pan. He was the boy who refused to grow up. And though his story is comical and it has a point to be made, yet it is a disaster when a person in our world, not in make-believe, refuses to grow up. Of course, there are those who say, growing old, yes, fine and good, growing up, never. And we smile and we chuckle because that is something that may be attractive. There is a certain attraction to youthfulness, and there is a certain character to remaining young and not to be growing old and crotchety. But Paul, he would want every one of us to grow up in our faith, not just that we ourselves might be blessed, that we ourselves might be mature, but see how that he is concerned as he writes and as he addresses the church, and how that we impact upon each other. He urgently says, let's grow up. Let's start to really put feet under ourselves and strengthen our bones and tone to the muscle. Paul begins at the outset of chapter 4, and here he is smack in the middle of this 6-chapter epistle. He reminds his readers and all of us that he is, in fact, a prisoner. Ephesians is one of Paul's 4 prison epistles: Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians, those four Paul writes not just as a prisoner captive of Jesus Christ, but as a prisoner of Rome. And he says to these people, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. What are we to take from that? Paul is reminding these believers in Corinth there, or in Ephesus, that that they were loved by Christ. That there was a love that had been poured out for them in Christ coming to die upon Calvary's cross. But in addition to that, there had been a strenuous effort in the proclamation of the gospel to them. Paul had paid the price of coming to them amid shipwreck, amid dangers, amid robbers, amid all kinds of things that would have held back a weaker man. But Paul and his companions had gone there to Ephesus to proclaim Christ and to make him known. So these people, they are set and they are alerted that they are indebted. They are indebted to Christ. They are indebted to God for the love that they had received and what Christ had effected on the cross. But Paul is also saying, look, I am a prisoner. Why? Because I have held forth the gospel, because it has become known that this is the message that we preach. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and there is a little bit of a twist. There is a little bit of an arm behind the back saying, look, friends, this is serious business. You need to hunker down and realize that we are not playing games here. This is vitally, urgently important, what I am saying to you. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore. He says, I want you to listen. I am not just passing this as casual information. I am not simply passing this as a weak suggestion. I want to implore you. I want to beg of you that you walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which you have been called. What is that calling? That calling is that we have become the very sons and daughters of God, and that we are no longer the children of this world, but that we have been elevated to a higher level, that we have been given the privilege of heaven as our citizenship, and that that is the place to which we go. And we are to now live in this world, not as we previously did, but we are to live based upon that citizenship, based upon the calling, based upon the family into which we have been brought. In fact, into which we have been grafted and into which we have received an inheritance. But he says, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, how often to be, as it were, a king's kid, people have become arrogant, they have become boastful, they have become brash, they have become unkind, rude, arrogant in every way. But Paul says, let the character that you know of, that you have heard of in Christ and have seen in others, humility, gentleness, patience, love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, he says, let that impact, let that in fact infect you as you move forward. Paul speaks of one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul speaks of various integral points of our religion, of our faith, of our walk. And they all point there in verse 6 to one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, in all. All that we do, we recognize that there is one body, one true body of Christ. Oh, that, yes, there are many imposters within the body of Christ. It is God who will separate the wheat from the chaff on Judgment Day. But Paul is saying there is one. There is one true body, spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, God and Father. But he says there are diversities within the body of Christ. He speaks of how that Jesus, when he ascended and he gave gifts to men. What were those gifts that Christ gave? Was it $1,000 to Peter? Thank you so much, Peter, for being a good guy. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for asking those questions that gave me opportunity to declare I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Matthew, for leaving your tax tables. Here's a bit of coin. No, to the church, Jesus gave gifts of leadership, of ability, of strength, all of these things, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, that the church might be strengthened and that the people of God, who have been literally called out of this world, might be built up, that they might have strength, that they might have courage, that they might be able to take up the weapons of our warfare, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and that we might go forth to do great exploits in Christ's name, not according to the standards and the ways, the means of this world, but to build and to be true to what Christ has called us to. He says, to the building up of the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was the one who first of all said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And Christ, he has poured into the church some as apostles, and that very word means those who have been sent with a message. I hesitate to call any an apostle in this world, though some have grabbed a hold of that name even today. But basically, it means one who is sent with a message. Here we read some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, but all not for their own glorification, not for their own fame, but that the saints, that those who are in the church because of Christ's blood, that they might be strengthened and that the body might be built up. How long will this go on? Paul says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's a mouthful for sure, as Paul tries to unravel this of where we are going, where we're heading, where we are striving to be as Christ calls us along. He says, we have a high goal that has been set for us. The mark has been stellar high, but we are going to make it because it is Christ who is building his church. It is Christ's gifts that have been given, and it is Christ who is going to see through the work that he has in fact begun. Paul says, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children. It's great to have boys and girls come and to learn and to be a blessing to them and to have them as a part of our fellowship and how we rejoice in them. But these boys and girls, if we have a a kid's corner in 5 years or 10 years, and it's the same boys and girls, and they haven't grown in stature, in their education, in their character, then we have desperately failed. And Paul is saying the very same things to these who he has previously ministered to and he comes to. He says, don't be children any longer. Children can be convinced that, well, the wool can easily be pulled over their eyes, tossed here and there. Very often Christians are of the very same kind. They have the wool pulled over their eyes by tricks. Those who would lead them astray. But we are not to be tossed here, there, by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, according to the trickery of men, or craftiness in deceitful scheming. And most certainly there is an abundance of that in our world today, and even in Christian circles. But Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Truth and love. They are not polar opposites. The truth is sometimes proclaimed bombastically, and there is a lack of love. And sometimes the love that is shown gets so gushy and mushy that it just accepts anything and everything, and just we want to love, and we want to be loving. But Paul says these can go together, and that we can speak the truth in love. There can be a winsome spirit. There can be a kindness, even when the most serious, stern truth is being declared. Paul says, this is our goal. This is our desire. This is our aim, to speak the truth in love as we are no longer children and as we're no longer tossed here and there. Speaking the truth in love, as a result, we grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Paul ever had his eyes fixed upon Him who met him on the road to Damascus, and in that blaze of light struck him down and spoke to him so sternly. But in that stern speech there was God's love. Paul, I love you, and I am not about to let you go your own wicked and headstrong way. I am going to reach down and speak to you in words and terms and in language that you understand, and here I am. And I don't think Paul ever got away from the glory of Christ standing before him, and that he was ever moving towards that light and moving towards that truth that had been revealed to him, and that his desire, his heart was, oh, that I might know him, and that he might be more ever revealed in me. Even Christ. And Paul comes back and he says, Christ, the head, and under the head there is the body, there is the church, there are the saints, there is the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, leaders, there are all of those who are a part of the church, that as we speak the truth, as we grow up, as the head is in his rightful place, that the whole body, that it might be fitted and held together by what every connecting part supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself, once again, in love. Paul is saying that the veins and the arteries, they all need to be not just bunched up in the neck, they need to be all in their rightful places. And the bones, they can't all be down in the legs, they need to be in their proper places. And there needs to be the key organs, they need to be in the abdomen. And the hands, they need to be at the end of the arms, and the feet, they need to be at the end of the legs. He's saying that every part in its rightful place, doing what it is appointed to do, serving where it is appointed to serve, that the body might nourish itself, be strengthened, and go forward and be a blessing. Grow up. Grow up. Later on in Ephesians, in chapter 6, we find Paul speaking of the armor of God. If the body does not grow up, it can't put on the armor because it's weak. Its muscles lack tone and it's unable. There is an urgency to hear what Paul has to say. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us that we would hear the words of the apostle once again, and that we would walk according to what you have called us to. You have called us out of darkness and out of death itself to walk in light and in life. May that be for us, and may we grow up. May we set aside all of those things that would hold us back, and moving forward, set aside the childish toys and move forward. Set aside the little milk and the things that we used to be drawn to, and set into the meat that would strengthen us and be a blessing. And Lord, not just for us alone individually, but all together, that we would grow up, that we would be the people that you desire us to be, serving as you would desire us to serve, honoring as you would, as you rightly ought to be honored. So, Lord, hear us. Work among us and receive glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.